Are you listening to this episode on Himalaya? If you are, congratulations, because you're already using the best new podcast app out there. If you're not, well, you're a loser and missing out, so get it together. Whether you're a podcaster or a fan, Himalaya is designed with you in mind and has a ton of cool new features like curated shareable playlists and collections made just for you, along with personalized recommendations to help with content discovery. And the best part is, it's super easy to use. It's definitely my favorite listening app, and I'm sure it will be yours too. So do yourself a favor and download Himalaya today, and be sure to follow my show, Worst Firsts, once you're there. Bye. Guys, we are rolling. I am fucked up. Just kidding. I'm not actually rolling. I'm here with...
Would that be crazy if I was actually rolling right now?
We would have
had to do it together.
Yeah, and that'd be weird. And then if we said we're rolling, but we're actually rolling, like we rolled the whole podcast.
Do you know I take mushrooms every Monday night?
You do?
Every Monday night.
Okay, we need to talk about this. Guys, my guest is mushroom-taking Josh Wolf, drug addict Josh Wolf.
No, not an addict.
just kidding.
Just a consistent user.
Okay, wait. So you have to...
There's a difference.
Consistent
user. I don't
user.
Need it. I just like it a lot.
I love that. That's like what all drug addicts say. Yeah. I'm not a drug addict. I'm just a consistent user.
Yeah.
I love that. Wait, so how did you get into taking mushrooms every Monday?
Well, every Monday night, I do something called the High Live.
What's it called?
It's the High Live.
The High Live. Oh, you're wearing the hat. Look at you.
So I'm going to go from here to there.
Yeah.
So I turn on my camera in my backyard.
Uh-huh.
And I smoke weed for an hour straight.
Are you by yourself?
By myself. There was a lot of different reasons why I started doing it. It's made me so much better at my job. I didn't think that was going to be
it. You think. Or it just made you care less. No, I'm just kidding. You're so fucked up, you don't even know what you said.
Well, on Mondays, I'm not really good at my job. But it's allowed me to slow down on stage. Because I have to talk into a camera straight for an hour.
You're hyper like me.
Yes.
We could...
Yes.
Are you Italian?
No, Jewish.
Jewish, okay. But
yeah,
I feel like we look related.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking when I look at you... I feel like you're the male version of me.
So Beth said, Beth, my wife.
Yes, who's beautiful.
She's pretty good.
Stunning.
Yeah, those roofies have worked pretty well.
Dead.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That'll come back to haunt you.
Yeah. They're like, well, we were going to give Josh Wolf his own show on NBC, and then we heard he roofied his wife.
Yeah,
so,
but she's my wife. Now she just likes him.
Dead.
No. What was I talking about?
So you're saying that Beth said to you.
She said, have you ever met her before? I said, no. She said, it was like you guys had known you were talking to each other like you'd known each other. And I was like, I met her the 2 minutes before she walked in.
Isn't that crazy?
But very similar.
I think it's weird because like when I feel like I meet people and I feel like I kind of look like them or related to them, I feel closer to them because I feel like you look like someone in my family.
You think I have nicer legs than you or?
Definitely. Oh yeah. Like, I have a little bit of a gamey thigh.
You have
very thin thighs.
Yes.
Yeah,
how would you qualify your leg situation? I didn't look.
I have big thighs and like no calves because I was born with clubbed feet.
Wait, what?
Do you know what that is?
I know what club feet is.
When your feet are shaped like fucking golf clubs and
you
can play with that shit.
And were they kind of in?
They were turned in all the way backwards.
No!
They were fucked up. My birth certificate, speaking of a worst first, how about a worst first birth? My birth certificate, my feet are upside down on my birth certificate because my feet were so twisted
they couldn't unravel them. A great Walking Dead zombie.
I would have dragged my body
so
good.
The best baby zombie of all time.
I wasn't supposed to be able to walk. Isn't that gnarly?
Really?
I would have been this hot not being able to walk. Like, damn, I'd still fuck her. I mean, I guess I could just throw her over my shoulder. No,
you gotta tell you something. I've always wanted to have sex with a girl with backwards feet.
No.
Yo, you see that chick with backwards feet?
Yo.
Oh, I would totally fuck her.
I would totally take her pants off backwards with those feet.
Because look, she's walking towards you, but is she?
No, she's walking the other way. Well, I was trying to walk the other way, but my feet are backwards, so I end up walking towards you.
Oh, if I was high and someone with backwards feet was walking towards me, I'd be like, what?
You can't walk. Your feet are so fucked up. So then what happened was they put my legs in casts, as soon as I was born.
They Forrest Gumped you?
They fucking put my legs in full cast up to my thighs, and I had to drag myself around for when I started learning to crawl. And people would give my mom dirty looks because they thought that she threw me down some stairs or something, because they saw this baby that was literally a newborn baby with two giant casts on her legs, right? And they'd be like, oh, what a horrible mother, you know what I mean? And so then we get to the doctor's office a year later. They thought that this was the only treatment that they had to solve this problem at the time. And so they saw the casts off, and my feet were straight, and then my dad said they went, and they went right back to the way they were. And it was horrible, and they were like, yeah, she's never going to walk. Sorry. Like, you're just going to have to deal with it. And my dad was, like, not taking that for an answer. He contacted, like, Philadelphia Children's Hospital, and then there was some new
and
guy.
And said, do you have a new kid that I could have? Could I turn this one back in?
He's like, you guys got any extra feet over there?
Do you have any extra kids or feet at the hospital?
They're like, we need some feet. Anyway, so they end up finding this doctor who did this crazy surgery where they cut both my ankles open. It looks like I tried to kill myself. I have two giant scars going up each of my ankles. And then they taper your Achilles tendon till your foot loosens and goes back straight. And that's what they did to me.
Did you ever see...
to learn how to, like, I had to go to physical therapy when I was younger. It was crazy.
Did you ever see the original Pet Sematary?
No.
You never saw when that little crazy kid sliced that dude's Achilles?
No.
That's what that made me think
of. Is it when he's walking upstairs?
Wait, you never saw the original?
No,
but
I just guessed
it.
Yeah, I'm actually going to see Rob Zombie's new movie tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, I love horror movies.
The original
heart palpitations, but I deal with it.
Me too. The original, and I scream like a bitch. My brother won't go see horror movies with me because I jazz hand when I scream. And I scream real loud.
You start punching people.
Well,
like,
I go, and he said to me once, he goes, man, you got to stop screaming like
that.
Is
your brother a big black guy?
No.
Man.
No, but that's just how
I
say it.
You got to stop screaming like that. I love it.
I wish you
would. Oh, my God.
He said, man, you got to stop screaming like that.
Yeah.
Or I'm not going to
go anywhere with you.
Yeah. And I go, I didn't scream. And the dude on the other side of me was like, yeah, man,
you
you've been screaming this whole time.
Bitch.
Yeah, like a bitch.
Oh.
But the original Pet Sematary has one of the scariest
scenes. Yeah.
This woman crawls out of the corner with like spina bifida, and she's all hunched up. You gotta see.
Ew.
I'm gonna clip the scene and send it to you.
Thanks.
What is your what's your scariest horror movie?
Ugh.
What's one?
There's
one
this
scene?
Really horrible movie called Martyrs. Have you seen it?
No.
You need to look it up. It's you won't sleep. I know this is her. There's this movie called Martyrs, and it's about, I'm not even going to tell you what it's about. You need to just look it up. There's two girls on the cover, and they look like kind of sad, and it's the most fucked up movie you'll ever see. It's called Martyrs.
What genre of horror scares you the most? Creepy kids?
I think like
exorcism
ghosts,
type stuff, ghosts
and horror stuff. Stuff that I feel like could happen.
Yeah.
Don't you get scared by that? Do you have any ghost stories?
Yes.
Tell me, worst first ghost story.
Okay. If you rank things that people debate about, aliens, Bigfoot, ghosts, Loch Ness.
Right.
To me, ghost at the top,
so
number
scary.
100%.
So scary.
No doubt in my mind, real.
Exists, yes.
Don't
of
you
course,
agree?
Of course.
100%. Okay.
Yeah.
So
I love how you go.
Yeah, because I'm
all excited.
When I get really scared, my taint tingles a little bit. It's like a spidey sense. So my taint's tingling just
a
little bit.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So I was walking my dog, who was dead. Thanks for bringing that up earlier.
You were walking your dead dog.
My dead dog, yes.
Oh, my God.
No. Well, he wasn't dead at the time.
Okay.
Although
Oh, my God.
That would have been a weird ghost
this
story.
This is the end of the story, yeah.
I'm walking my dog. And there was a house in my neighborhood that had overgrown shrubbery in front of it, and just was always dark.
Not well taken care of. Yeah.
Not well taken care of. And people seemed to move in and out of that house a lot.
Hmm.
There was always a moving truck, 3-4 months, another moving truck, gone for rent, always.
Wow.
And I was like, this is not the neighborhood where they're doing 3 month rent.
Right.
You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
People are breaking.
Where do you live? Amityville?
Yeah, right. So, but also, one night we're walking by there, and behind the fence, behind the huge trees and overgrown, we hear this deepest, darkest growl at my dog. To the point, my dog was a bit of a pussy anyways, but even for him.
Right.
And he scooted. Right? And every time I tried to walk by that house, he never would. He would always cross the street, or he would not go down that street, never cross it, right? So one day I'm walking by the house by myself, uh-huh. and this dude is moving out.
Uh-huh.
I go, "Are you moving out, man?" He goes, "Yeah." I go, "Didn't you just move in?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Are you taking that big ass dog with you? It scared the shit out of me and my dog the other night." He goes, "I don't have a dog, man." And I said, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, that's why we're moving out." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You think it's bad on the outside? You have no idea what we hear in there." And I said, "Get the fuck out of here." He goes, no, we're leaving. We're leaving. And I go, do you know how many people have moved in and out of here? He goes, "Yeah, they never, that's not something they share with you when you're renting."
Oh my gosh.
So
it's a haunted house.
Well, what happened? Okay, so somebody bought the place.
Okay.
Leveled all of the trees and shrubbery in front of it. Put basically glass
uh-huh.
on the roof, not uh-huh. all of it, uh-huh. and just made it all light.
Because
uh-huh. I asked him, I go, "You know, I heard that was haunted." He goes, "Yeah, me too." He said, "I just made it so light that," his theory is, when it's light like that,
there can't be anything scary.
There can't be anything dark in there.
Right, right, right.
So he just made it a wide open place.
Right, right.
But I said, "Had you heard?" And he goes, "Yeah, I heard." He goes, "We had a priest come in here and we did the sage stuff." He goes, "We did all that." He goes, "I believe in that stuff,
yeah.
but I also believe you can get rid of them." And I told him the story. He goes, "Yeah, no, I had heard a story like that before from somebody else besides you." And I was like, "Get out." And so I had heard of hauntings, but I had never heard. When I tell you the growl, it was like.
Did it sound like a dog?
No.
It was deeper than
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
It was like. Ugh.
Yeah.
I tried to do it. I'm all.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like this, right? You're like, "No, dude, you're like a woman, a tiny woman.
Yeah,
a
tiny woman.
You're not going to make this noise. Like, don't even try to make the noise. I don't know why you're trying.
You sound like you're clearing your throat.
All, yeah. You sound like this.
That's exactly what it sounded like. Yeah.
Wow.
But it was in.
That's scary.
Insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
Is that your only paranormal experience?
My son, when he was 4 years old, we used to drive up and down over Laurel Canyon all the time.
Uh-huh.
And so he used to talk about, we'd drive by this house and go, "I miss," and this is what he said to me one day, "I miss Houdini." And I go,
"Houdini?"
But he kept saying Houdini, Houdini, uh-huh. "I miss Houdini."
Uh-huh.
And I was like, "Dude, I had no idea." I was like, "Say that again?" He goes, "I miss Uncle Houdini." He'd say, "Uncle Houdini." I go, "We don't have an Uncle Houdini." He goes, "Yeah, we do. We have an Uncle Houdini." I was like, "No, man, we don't. You know what house is on Laurel Canyon?"
Yes, Houdini's.
The Houdini house.
The Houdini mansion,
and
yes.
So what I found later was that Houdini's best friend was named Jacob, which is my son's name. And so we used to go over that. And I had no idea until my brother told me, he goes, "You know, that's Houdini's house right
yeah,
there."
Yeah.
And I asked my son, I go, "What? Where do you see Uncle Houdini?" He goes, "I don't really see him, but I talk to him sometimes." And I was like, "Oh boy."
He said that?
Yeah.
Your son?
Yeah.
Have you guys ever been to Houdini's house?
Well, okay, how about this? Later, he was working on that show. The Foster Sisters had a show.
Your
on VH1.
Son? Your son was working on the show?
Yeah.
Your son's an actor?
No.
At four?
He was with, he's older now. He's okay. 22.
Your son is 22?
Yeah, my son's 22.
Whoa.
Yeah. He usually was my co-host on the show you were.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
He's working on David Spade's show right now.
Oh, I love it. Lights Out. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So, but he...
Shout out to David Spade, even though he stopped talking to me once I got married.
Stop it.
Dead, for
Come
real.
Come on.
Seriously. We used to be friends, and then I got married, and he was like, "Well, screw this." Okay, anyway,
I have a lot of married friends.
Yeah.
But he was working up there as a PA on, I forget, not Almost Famous. What was that show called with them on?
The Fosters?
The Foster Sisters? They were two blonde sisters.
Yes, yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know. I've heard of them.
I forget what their show's
called. The parents are rich or something.
Yeah. So I was not born into the money.
Me neither.
But he was working at Houdini's, that place.
Uh-huh.
And he almost severed three of his toes.
How?
On location. He was on the back of one of those trucks, you know, that goes up and they're ringing.
Yeah.
I don't know what those are called.
Yeah,
the ramp comes
the
up.
Neat trucks.
I think, yeah. Spell knee.
Yeah.
But his toes were over the edge. So when it locked in on the back of the truck, the whatever the ramp was, it locked in over his toes. And it just. And so we go to he's in an Uber on the way to the hospital, right? And he's screaming. And I go, "Hey, man, do me a favor." And he goes, "What?" I go, "Ask the Uber guy if this is the weirdest thing he's ever seen."
Right?
And so my son tries to compose himself. His feet or toes are dangling off. He goes,
"Oh, hey, God.
Is this the weirdest thing you've ever seen?" And the guy goes, "Not even today."
I love Uber drivers. Yeah. They've seen everything. They don't even care.
No.
They
just
literally
don't
give a
car.
Shit. Yeah, yeah. They literally don't give a shit. That's crazy. So you have younger kids too, right?
No. All my kids are old.
Really?
Yeah.
How many kids do you have?
I have three kids.
Okay, and how old are they? The oldest one's 22?
The oldest one's 27.
Wow.
I got four grandkids.
Why did I think you're like 40?
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, you look young.
Yeah, I got four grandkids,
you
man.
And Bethany and have kids, or no?
We do not have
you
kids.
You don't have kids.
I met a woman, we had two kids. I met a woman, she had two kids, then we had a kid together, and then I kicked her. When we split up, I kept all the kids. And then she had her own problems.
Mm-hmm. You got all the kids.
I got the kids.
That says a lot when the dad gets the kids.
You know, it wasn't even an argument. She knew where she was at that time in
right,
her life.
Right, right, right.
And so...
In a meth spiral.
Yeah, I mean, she knew where she was. And she yeah. wasn't trying... And listen, I don't want to make it seem like I was Mr.
The
Perfect.
Best. Oh, yeah. No, I can tell you're crazy.
I did my fair share of whatever.
Trust me, crazy recognizes fucking crazy.
I am on board for a little crazy.
Yeah.
But there were also times where you had to... Get your shit together.
Right, right, right.
And
of
so
course.
She just needed a little time to get her shit together.
Oh, so she's okay now. And you're happily married.
I am happily married to the hottest woman I've ever
seen.
I know,
she's beautiful. And that's nice. And now your kids are all grown up and you're just living your life and you're doing your podcast. And I did his podcast, guys. It's called Controlled Chaos. I'm not sure when this is coming out, but if whatever one comes out before it, make sure either way to go check out his podcast because it's actually the coolest podcast. You give us so many gifts.
Yeah.
I was like...
And weird things.
I do nothing on my podcast, so I felt like I had to bring you a gift.
Oh, I brought you one. It's in my car.
Why'd you bring me another gift?
Because
give all the gifts on your podcast. I came home with so much, my husband was like, where the fuck did you go? A raffle? Like, what the fuck? I came home with like...
Did you go to the VFW?
No, I literally came home with a box of weed, a onesie, a boob balloon, and some Pumas. He was like, what the fuck is this?
How'd that boob balloon go over?
Oh, we're going to use it next summer. Yeah, this summer. This summer's over. Next summer.
In the pool, the boob balloon?
Sure. I'm sure it'll get more action than I do. Sure. The boob balloon is lit. It's like this big. It's a titty.
Yeah. You know what I didn't love about the boob balloon?
What?
The
had nipple. No nipple. Oh, yeah. There's a lack of a nipple.
Yeah.
It's like, what happened to the nipple? Did it?
I'm a fan.
People are probably sucking on it too much. Yeah. They were like, yeah, we can't have that. Yeah. We can't. The dog's running around the yard like,
Yeah.
People were like, that's disturbing. We can't have it. Okay. Anyway, I'm trying to give you a gift.
Okay.
I don't know if you listen to my husband's band, Motley Crue. But we got you a Motley Crue t-shirt.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Now,
so
I will tell you. So one of the last times that I got, and this is the right size and everything.
Yeah, it's going to fit you great. I can tell.
One of the last times I got good ecstasy.
Okay.
I was at the Motley Crue show.
Okay.
At the Hollywood Bowl with Poison and the New York Dolls.
Oh, dope.
I believe Chelsea was still on the air because I was there with Sarah Colonna and Chris Frangiola.
Uh-huh.
And it was the first time I had ever seen your husband in his little choo-choo train drum set.
That goes all fucking around and upside down.
Let me tell you something. I started rolling hard when he started going around in circles.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the best night
of my
life.
I would never be able to do that. I get dizzy just standing up too fast.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like...
Oh, you mean ecstasy or the tour?
Just what he does.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do any drugs. I'm already insane. I've already completely mental, so I can't do drugs. But, you know.
Did you experiment and find that out, or was it just something you knew about yourself?
I did some drugs when I was younger, like in my early 20s, and I was fine because I was so amped up on Adderall that pretty much when you're on Adderall, you're like invincible.
You can do like any drug and it won't affect you.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, yeah. So I did a bunch of drugs when I was in my early 20s. And then as I got older and I got off the Adderall and I was on an antidepressant and I started weaning off of that. I was like, I am too much already going on in my own brain to like get to try drugs again. You know what I mean? Even now, like I'll smoke weed occasionally and that's fine sometimes. And then sometimes it's not. You know what I mean? Like my brain is so fucked. Like my brain's sometimes like, yeah, this is going to be a good day for you. And then sometimes my brain's like, just kidding, bitch. We're going to fuck you over today. And like, I just have the worst brain. I never know when I wake up what kind of day I'm going to have.
Your husband must love that.
No, it's great. He loves
it. I'm sure that's a big plus.
No, I'm not ever mean to anyone else. It's just I never know if I'm going to be like happy or if I'm going to be like
Do you So I don't drink at all.
I don't either drink either.
I don't drink at all.
I don't drink either.
I smoke weed.
Yes.
And you I do mushrooms every Monday.
Yeah, every Monday.
Yeah, I just started that.
Isn't that kind of like, I've heard about this like microdosing. They say it's like good for you or something,
you know what
right?
it is for me? I didn't really have my 20s.
Why?
I had kids.
Because you had kids.
And so.
What was your job in your 20s? Were you still doing comedy?
I was still trying to do stand-up.
Oh, wow.
The most real conversation I think I maybe have ever had, I had with my dad. In the midst, I was raising the three kids. It was me in the apartment.
Wow, that's a lot of kids to raise at 20. How did you even pay for them?
That was the thing. I was like, I think it was I was probably 27 or 28, maybe 28 at the time. Mm-hmm. He walked into my Hollywood apartment. And you know the apartment where the kitchen is, the living room is the
that
whole thing?
And you had three kids in there.
We all lived in one room. And my dad walked in. And this was the realest conversation I think I've ever had with anybody. And he said, you know, I love you and I support your dream and your mom and I think you're incredibly talented.
Yeah.
But at what point, he was looking around the way we lived.
Yeah.
He goes, at what point does your dream become selfish? Like at what point, if it was just you, I wouldn't even say anything to you. But now mm-hmm. you're all of a sudden single mm-hmm. and you got these three kids. And like, at what point do you have to say, okay, I can't do this anymore? And he said, I'm not telling you what's right or wrong. I just want to make sure you're still thinking and remembering that it's not just you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It was heavy.
Yeah.
It was heavy because it was all I had ever wanted to do.
Where did you work at the time? Were you like a server and doing stand-up, that kind of situation?
I worked, I catered at El Cholo.
We've all been there.
Yep, yeah, catered at El Cholo. And I had, you know, my brothers helped babysit. Other comics helped babysit. A guy named Joey Diaz was.
I know, yeah.
So
I've
Joey
heard of
it, was my kid's babysitter.
Wow.
And so, but like, you just, that's what I did. That's all I knew how to do.
You fought.
Yeah, and I think the only thing was that I decided that I was going to do it for a little while longer because I didn't want my kids to see me quit.
Give up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, as someone who didn't grow up with money,
mm-hmm.
I didn't mind them not growing up with money.
Right, right, right.
I think that actually
grounded
instills,
them
do you know what I mean?
I get it, yeah.
I think it instills some good stuff in you.
Yeah.
So, you know, you know what my fancy ass dessert was when the kids were growing up?
What?
A syrup sandwich. I would toast some bread and I would smear some butter on there and then I would put syrup on there. And I told them that the rich people, I bought some of that powdered sugar and I would just throw it on top real quick. And rich people, this is rich people's dessert because of the powdered sugar. And the kids love that rich people's dessert, boy.
A syrup sandwich.
Syrup sandwich. Yeah, come on.
Your kids are all on Twitter like hashtag syrup sandwich. Fuck you, dad. Like hashtag fuck you, dad.
Yeah. It basically was French toast without the eggs.
That sounds good, though.
It was delicious.
I'd probably love it. I mean, I love bread, so you could just.
I'll make you a syrup sandwich.
You could just hand me bread with like some sugar on it. I'd be like, oh, this is rad. What is this?
Bread and sugar is delicious.
So when did you start? When did it start to kick off for you?
You know, I did a one-man show that basically was a therapy session.
Yeah. I love it.
You know,
just like ranted to the audience.
Oh, it was just everything I'd ever wanted to say. And with funny.
Yes.
And that was it.
And that was it.
That was it. That was it. And then some people saw that. I got a deal, a couple deals.
Good.
And then did a bunch of writing in town, wrote on a bunch of TV shows.
Uh-huh.
And then Chelsea's show came around and that was
changed
it.
Changed your life.
Yeah, that was it.
And what does your dad say now?
He says the same thing he's always said, which is we support you.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, man, my parents.
Parents are weird like that, though. My parents were the same way when I came here at 17. They were like.
At what?
17. By myself.
From where?
33 now. From Philadelphia. I came out here to act, and I was like, I'm going to be an actress.
17?
Yeah, all by myself, and I didn't know anybody.
Had you graduated high school?
Yeah, I just graduated and came right out. Yes, by myself, on a plane. Didn't know anybody.
Okay. I have so many questions.
Yeah.
You, at 17 years old,
yes.
Boy, the balls on you.
Oh, yeah.
But Philadelphia, people in Philadelphia
have some balls. I
just
wanted to run away, though. I was like, I got away from all these people. I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here.
But
yeah,
you land at LAX.
Yes.
And by the way, LAX at 17
gnarly.
Can be. Yeah.
Gnarly.
Okay.
Well,
but then you didn't have an apartment yet?
I had an apartment set up. But what was the worst was that I didn't know that downtown LA, okay, this is 2005 downtown
LA. I did the
LA,
same thing.
I thought downtown LA would have been like New York City.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
And so I went online and I got an apartment in downtown LA in 2005, where
that's not the time you want to be down there.
Not shit down in downtown LA. Now there's the fucking all kinds of shit. Yeah. There's like grocery stores, clubs, restaurants. It's fucking lit. They got Figueroa Street. Everything's popping. When I was there, there was a fucking Rite Aid and some fucking homeless, like a bunch of homeless people and a bunch of people who just worked there during the week.
Don't forget the meth.
And the meth.
Yeah.
And tumbleweeds of newspaper just going down the street, right? So I fucking get this apartment. There's this apartment building called the Medici in downtown LA on Bixell Street. It was $2,300 a month. And that's what I thought was a fucking deal in 2005.
Oh my
and
God.
And so I spent like all my savings getting this $2,300
a month to live downtown?
To live downtown. And I get this apartment. And I didn't realize that like that apartment building was made for all the lawyers and stuff who worked in the city who wanted to live closer to their jobs, you know? And like, I lived there for like 6 months and then I met some girls and we went and rented a house in Hollywood. But it was the worst 6 months of my life.
What are you, okay, it's 17
I didn't have
years
a car
old.
Either.
But at 17 years old, yeah. It's not like you can go out to
nothing,
bars and meet people.
Nothing.
What was the game plan?
It was like, I'm going to become an actress. I would walk around town. I would walk around downtown LA by myself at night because they
the
were filming
fuck
a lot down
out
there.
Of here.
So I would see the filming signs. You know the yellow, when they're doing movies, guys, they put up these signs that they show kind of like where the location is, and they have code names on them. And so I would see the, like these filming signs, and I like this is one of the stories. So one night I was like, I'm just gonna walk onto a set and introduce myself to people. Like that was my game plan. Like that's what I thought I was gonna do.
And did you?
So one night I'm walking around downtown LA by myself. And of course, like it's super dangerous because there's homeless people everywhere and hookers and stuff. There was a motel across the street
by the
from
hour.
The Medici.
Yeah.
By the hour, I would see girls and I would sit on my balcony. I'd be like, hey, girls. They'd be like, oh, hey, honey, how you doing? And they'd get in a car and they'd be like, don't ever end up like this. And I was like, oh, I won't.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like kind of funny, like watching them. And, yeah. I would talk to them off my balcony. It was so funny. And they'd be smoking weed and like shit. Anyway, so I was walking around downtown LA and they were filming that movie with Jim Carrey, Number 23. Do you remember that movie? It was called The Number 23. It was like a dark movie, or it was just called 23 or something like that. It was a dark Jim Carrey movie. Anyway, so I'm walking around and I'm by myself and I see the yellow signs and I'm following the yellow signs and I walk up to base camp and there's a guard standing there and he goes, hey, what are you doing? Because I'm like this 17.
Out of concern.
Yes. I'm like this 17-year-old girl, like 100 pounds, like cute, like dressed. I'm all dressed up because I think I'm going to go.
Were you dressed up?
I dressed up because I thought, oh, I'm going to go to set and introduce myself to a director and they're going to put me in a film. Like, what was I thinking? Totally insane, right?
The balls.
So I go, oh, hi. And I go, are they shooting a movie? Like, just such a dumbass. Oh, my God, are they shooting a movie? And they're like, and the guy's like, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, they're shooting a movie. What are you doing out here? It's 2:00 in the morning. Like, this is dangerous. Like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I was just going for a walk. I live in the Medici. And I'm like, literally walked like 3 miles to get to this location, right? So he's like, this is not safe. He's like, I'm going to bring you in to camp. He's like, it's called Carrie Camp. And I was like, what's Carrie Camp? I was like, ooh, what movie is this? And he goes, it's a Jim Carrey movie. And he brings me in, and he's Jim Carrey's like personal security guard, mm-hmm. right? And I'm literally 17 years old. And he sits me in, and it's Carrie Camp, and there's couches, and there's trailers, and Jim Carrey has this whole like setup, and he brings me right into set. And I'm like, this is working out just as I planned. Yeah. And like, I'm like, this couldn't work out any better.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting on this couch in Carrie Camp and I'm just talking to him and he's asking me my story and I tell him the same thing I tell you. And I was like, well, I came to LA to be an actress and, you know, I'm just pursuing my dreams and blah, blah, blah. And he's telling me how dangerous it is to walk around in downtown LA and how I shouldn't be living there and blah, blah, blah. And then out of the corner of my eye, I see Jim Carrey and he's wearing all black and he has this crazy black eye makeup on and he's walking off set. And then he turns his head and he sees me and he just walks right towards me and he comes and he sits down on the couch next to me and he goes, hi, I'm Jim, and looks me right in the fucking eyes. And I'm just like, and I shake his hand and then we have like a 45-minute conversation and I'm just talking to him and he's like, and his security guard was so nice. He pretended that I was a friend of his. He's like, oh, this is my friend Brittany, and like just pretended I was his friend because he didn't want to like get in trouble for, I guess, bringing me on set or whatever. And Jim was so nice to me, talked to me about all about like where I'm from, what I want to do, blah, blah, blah. And then he was like, stay here, I have, and then they came and got him. He's like, I have to go shoot, stay here, right? And then he ends up leaving, and then I was just like, oh my God, like I was so like starstruck. Because he was, when he like looks at you or talks to you, or at least me, he was looking right in my eyes like the whole time. Like it's almost creepy.
And it's Jim
like
Carrey.
Imagine if I'm looking at you the whole time like this. Like, you know just who else does that? From right what I understand? Into your eyes. Who?
Tom Cruise.
It's intense.
Tom Cruise, from what I understand,
it's intimidating.
Keeps eye contact. Yeah. All right, let's see how long we can keep it. Keep talking. Keep going.
See, I can't do it. I have social anxiety. Let's so just see I'm going to be like, I talking, looking
oh,
in your
this
eyes.
This is tough. We lasted four seconds.
So I can't do it. It freaks me out. Anyway, so he was so nice and so amazing, and the security guard was so nice. And so I stayed there, and then Jim was just on set for like ever. He ended up being on set for like another like 5 hours, and I was like, well, I'm not going to wait around. Like the sun's coming up, you know? And I was like, I'm going to go. And you know, I got the security guard's information, and he was so nice. And
it's so cool.
He was like, you know, if we're ever doing anything, I'll let you know, and blah, 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 blah. But how crazy is that?
It's bananas.
Yeah, it's a crazy story.
100%, though, that would not have happened to a 17-year-old boy. He'd have been like, hey, man, get the fuck out
exactly.
of here. Exactly. Hey, get.
But because I literally had a skirt and like knee boots on. Like I was dressed
in
up.
Downtown
like, how did he
LA?
Not think I was a hooker? Like, he might have thought I was a hooker. I didn't look like a hooker. Like, I dressed cute and I was kind of like a little indie girl. So I wasn't like looking like a hooker, but it was very strange. But I will never forget that. That was like the coolest. One of the coolest days of my life.
Yeah, and you don't expect that
to happen.
No.
But that's the second time that's happened to me.
What was the other time?
There was this, I feel like this podcast is becoming about me and it's supposed to be about you.
No, it's about, you know what's about, what I like the most about podcasts? It's just a conversation.
You never know which way it's gonna go. They've been telling me to take a break for like 20 minutes. So, okay, we're taking a quick break and then I'll get back to my story. When we get back with Josh Wolf, but mostly me podcast.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Okay, we're back. We're back. Okay, so do you remember that show? It was called Shadow Hunter or something with Gabrielle Union and Stuart Townsend.
No.
Do you remember Stuart Townsend,
yes,
who was dating Charlize Theron for a while? He was really handsome. Okay, so I, again, walking downtown LA, just a day, I see them filming, and so of course I get all dressed up, and I decide, this is like my MO. Like, I'm gonna get dressed up and walk around movie sets and get discovered. Like, that's literally what I thought was gonna happen. So I'm walking in downtown LA, and they're filming something on the street, and it's literally just me and homeless people and some workers, you know, and some the crew or whatever. And I'm walking by, and everyone's looking at me because they're like, who the fuck is this? And, like, I'm all dressed up, like, fucking walking by, like, where is she even going, right? So the director of this show, I forget, it was called, like, something Shadow Hunters or Mindhunters, I don't know.
Shadow Hunters, Mindhunters is on
It's not Mindhunters,
right
it's
now.
Shadow Hunter. It was something Shadow something. Anyway, it was Stuart Townsend, Gabrielle Union, my friend who I ended up becoming friends with, Eric Youngman. And so it got canceled, ended up getting canceled. Anyway, the director stops shooting and goes on his little thing and he goes, hey, come here to me. And I'm like, oh, me? Are you guys shooting something? Like, just trying to play all dumb again.
Yeah.
So I go over and he goes, what are you doing? Like, everyone's like, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like, I'm just going for a walk. I live in downtown LA. They're like, why do you live here? Like, literally no one lived
here. In 2005, nobody lived there.
Nobody. There was no grocery store, nothing. There was just a Rite Aid on the corner.
Yeah.
And I ate from that Rite Aid. I ate Dinty more, like Did meals you? Every night. It was horrible. Anyway, so he comes up, he goes, are you an actress? And I said, yes. Yes, I am an actress. And I was like, just cut to the camera. This is all working out to my plan. Anyway, so I'm like, it's all working. So then he goes, I'm going to put you in the scene really quick. So you're going to walk right by the camera in this scene, okay? And I was like, okay. They made me a regular extra on the show.
That's fun.
Isn't that so funny?
Yeah.
So I would go like a couple times a week and just be a regular extra on the show. And it was so fun. And I ended up becoming friends with my friend Eric, who's an actor, who's been on a bunch of shit, and ended up becoming really close with him. And it was so funny because I would show up and people were like, where the fuck did this chick come from? But she's here every day now. And like, it was so funny.
That is so crazy.
I mean, it got canceled like after like a week of me doing did it. I blame you for the cancel. I blame me too. But it was really funny. But I remember when they got the call because we were like shooting and then they got a call and they were like, hey, wrap it up. Like that's how it happens. Like you literally are there and then all of a sudden they're just like, hey, they'll get someone gets a call and then they're like, just kidding, it's over.
We got a show. In the early days of the internet, I had a show on Fox Sports.
Called what?
The College Experiment.
Oh, wow. Did you go to college?
Yes.
You did? Where'd you go?
I went to a place called Trinity in Texas.
Oh, nice.
But this was like a sports show where we made fun of people hard.
I love it.
We went in hard on people.
Of people's sports players?
Early days of the internet. Nobody was really worried about it, you know? And we used to have this dude. You know a comic named Bob Oshak?
I've heard of him, yes. I know the name.
He used to go out and do field pieces at different schools. Well, he did a field piece at USC.
Uh-huh.
Over the summer,
uh-huh.
and asking the students there what they thought about it going from the Pac-10 to the Pac-12, right?
What does that mean?
They added two teams to their conference. Well, everybody that's there over the summer is a foreign exchange student, basically.
Oh my God.
So none of them really know.
Spoke English.
That was,
they're all, yes.
That was part of the joke. The part of the joke was we're asking these USC students what they think.
Yeah.
Now, you couldn't get away with that shit right now.
No.
You couldn't get away
everything
with
everything that's funny, you can't get away couldn't with get anymore, away. Yeah.
But apparently, USC did not like us making fun of them. We didn't even get a phone call. We just showed up and the office was locked.
Stop.
I was like, kick, kick.
And it was on Fox?
It was on Fox online.
Oh.
Fox Sports Online.
No one was watching that anyway.
Well, we had no. I know. We had some
That was
notice.
Back in the dial-up days. Dad, what the fuck is that noise? Dad.
Yeah, it was. But
DSL?
Before
it was dick sucking lips, it was dial up.
It was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's two DSLs.
Two DSLs.
Yeah, only one now.
Only one now.
Yeah, the other one is.
The other one's outdated.
So
what happened? So then.
We just showed up and the door was locked.
And that was it.
It was so crazy, though. We were all just like, I guess that's it.
That's it.
Is that.
That's the kibosh on that.
Is this how it ends?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to
see. And then the exchange student's like, I told you. I told you I'd get you here. Fuck you. I'm dead. He just throws a fortune cookie at you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fuck you. There goes all my subscribers. That's racist.
Anyway,
no one cares, guys. I'm just trying to do an accent.
You
know
what? I'm going to tell you something right now.
What?
I don't consider, if you're telling a story and
you do an accent.
Someone in that story has an accent.
Yeah.
And you do that accent.
Yeah.
I do not consider that to be racist at all.
I mean, at least you're trying sound like what they sound
but
like.
But I'll tell you something else. You tell stories. I tell stories.
Yes.
What's better if I go, so I was in China. And this Asian dude was trying to speak English.
Uh-huh.
Now, what's better? If I just say it the way I'm saying it?
Yeah.
Or what's funnier? What's funnier is to understand
the
difficulty of the language.
Yeah.
So if
people get offended because they're like, that's not what I sound like, and you're a white guy, and how dare you try to sound like my ethnicity, and fuck you, it's hurtful.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
it's
people
not,
get offended.
But,
they're so sensitive.
But the point is, like, you're not. It'd be one thing if I was just walking around all day doing an Asian accent.
Yeah.
Just for the. But if I'm telling a story.
Yeah.
And I'm giving. Because if I said.
I'm with you.
If I said to you a Swedish guy.
I don't think I take offense to anything, but also I have no right to say that because I'm a white girl.
No, but that's
but
true.
I think I wouldn't care if anyone made fun of me. Let's
what if I said an Italian guy and I did an Italian accent?
I would love it.
What if I did? I said a German guy.
Forget about it. I would love it.
Forget about it.
You don't even have to fucking say it. I would love it.
You're from Philly?
I'm from Philly. Yes. And you're from Texas.
No.
Where are you from?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts?
Mm-hmm.
Were you a witch? Did you grow up in Salem? All I think about is people from Massachusetts are all witches.
It's true.
Salem.
Yeah.
Did you go to Salem?
I was born there three times. I'm a witch. Yeah. I got born three times.
You're a cat secretly.
I see. Here's one thing. I'm on board for ghosts, not witches.
You don't believe in witches?
No.
I do.
Do you?
Because one time, you know what? One time I practiced witchcraft.
And
it worked.
On who?
On an ex.
What happened to him?
Bad stuff.
I'm going to need to hear the story.
I can't say it because I don't want to get in trouble.
With who?
With
the witch people? For using your powers for not for good? Like, are you
let's just say had an ex who did me really bad.
You think the people from Hogwarts are listening? Is that what you think?
And I went to this witchcraft store that's a legit witchcraft store in Studio City. Have you heard of it? The Third Eye or the...
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, on Ventura.
That store
place is
real shady.
Yeah, it's shady as fuck.
And they have shit from Louisiana and all kinds of horrible fucking shit in there. And I went in there and I was so angry and I was so hurt. And I wanted to make sure something really bad happened to my ex.
And
within like 2 months, something really bad happened to my ex.
Okay.
And I did a weird ritual with all kinds of powders and circles on the ground and fire and these specific candles in this specific order. And it was a long ritual and they printed it out for me.
Yeah.
And it was like a fucking real deal. And I had to talk to like a person and it was scary.
I got a couple questions.
What?
One.
I would never do it again.
What did the spell, what was it supposed to do to him? Exactly what it
did
to him? It
was supposed to ruin their life.
Okay.
It's like a life-ruining spell.
But is there a time expiration date? Because you could do a spell on somebody and 50 years later, see, like, see, he died. Yeah, he died of old age, motherfucker.
No, it was like, it was like, the creepy thing was, they said, and I said, well, how long is it going to take? Because I was so mad that this person had hurt me so much. I thought that they had loved me, and it was just a really bad breakup. And I was like, well, how long is this going to take? And they were like, it'll happen, you know, within the year. Something really bad's gonna happen to them.
What was the spell like? Give me a sample.
It was like just weird words that
Was it the English language?
Some of it, and some of it was weird words that I did not know. And it was weird when I did it. I felt very weird, and it was like just I can't describe it, but it was such a. It took like an hour to do the whole thing.
Get out of here.
It wasn't a quick one. It was like a real deal. Like, I paid like $170 for the whole download. And like, they were like, you know, and just so you know, you and I had to put myself in a circle of protection so that the spell doesn't come back on me. It was weird.
Oh, I'm going to have to go do one.
Be careful, because you know what? I regret it. And I feel really bad because the person ended up, not that I even have anything to do with it, but who knows? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was just not good.
Did you ever tell him that you cast a spell on him?
No, he doesn't talk. We don't talk to each other.
Wow. At all.
We haven't
because
spoken.
He can't speak anymore because you sewed his mouth shut.
No.
Because his tongue fell out.
I mean, who knows if it was from that, but it was kind of coincidental that after we broke up that this really crazy thing happened. And after I did the spell and they said within a year.
Did you feel powerful?
I did. When I did it, I did. I felt very powerful, especially because I did it so thoroughly because I was so focused on getting revenge, which isn't healthy, guys. Don't get revenge. It's not worth it. Just fucking peace out and like be a good person.
How long did it take you to get to that spot?
To feel bad?
No, how long did it get to take you to get to that point in your life where you're like, oh, I don't need to do that revenge stuff anymore?
I think once I just got to a point in my life probably like right after this, like I think there's a really weird line between like love and hate. They're almost the same.
I agree.
You can only hate someone if you loved the shit out of
them.
And so at the end
the
of the
emotion
day,
is to me the emotion is stronger.
Yes. And so at the end of the day, you kind of realize like, oh, like I loved this person and I really shouldn't want to do harm to anyone that I've loved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not healthy. And you know, and I've never physically would do harm, you know, but it was like, oh, I'm gonna do this.
You just
mimed
weird stabbing somebody.
No, I was gonna do that. It was a weird spell. There was a doll.
Really?
It was a full on doll from Louisiana with
my wife's from Louisiana.
Certain things and very scary. What I did to that doll.
Did you get a doll?
I don't want to say this publicly.
Did you get a doll?
Yes.
You got the so you had like a doll.
It was a they give you a doll.
And do you have to like do you poke it? Do you, what if you put barbecue sauce on it?
Maybe it gets fat or high blood sugar.
He gets diabetic.
And the weird thing is you have to have something of theirs to put on the doll.
What did you have?
I had some hair.
Why did you have hair?
Because I'm going to get in so much trouble for this.
Why? From who?
Can you?
From who?
Can you go to jail?
He doesn't know.
Maybe
we're
he's
about him.
Listening to this podcast.
Maybe he is. Maybe he is, but he still doesn't know. Well,
but if he's listening to the podcast, now he does.
Well, it's too late now.
Yeah, who knows?
Wait, you got to tell me.
So
should we lower the lights?
No. So anyway, you just have to have something of theirs. And
where'd you get hair?
It was just in my bed from because he used to sleep at my house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had some, and it's very specifically his because I had like we had very different hair.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's so crazy. Mm-hmm.
And then I wrapped the hair. You wrap the hair and you burn parts of it and
you know
do
what
like
we should
all
do?
This crazy shit. Dude, it's not cool. Like I'm telling you, as I was doing it, I was in a circle of protection, but still to this day, I'm like, maybe I like all the weird anxiety and shit that I have is from like entering this realm.
What was that feeling when you were sitting in the middle?
Yeah.
Because there had to be a, when you started, there had to be a piece of you who was like, this isn't real. I'm just doing right?
No, part of me was like, this isn't real. But then like also I had so much anger and fuel that even if it wasn't real, I felt like that I was channeling somehow because it was so, I was so upset that I just felt like even if this didn't work, my energy, like I believe in energy.
Yeah, me too.
And I was like, I'm sending this horrible energy away to this person because I was so upset.
It's funny you say that you believe in energy. That's why I believe in ghosts. And that's why.
Because we are energy.
Yes.
You know that, right?
Yes. No, that's why.
We are made of energy. And here's the fact about energy. You can't destroy it.
No.
No matter what. Even if we die right now, we're dead. Ugh. Okay. Your energy
is that the noise you're
going to
make when you die?
Yeah, I'm going to go.
I like
that. They're going to be like, whoa, that's a weird way to die. Any last words?
The goo.
So we're made of energy. You can't destroy energy.
Right.
So
I agree with that, which is why like anybody who doesn't believe that, walk into a play, a gathering, a funeral, a sporting event, and tell me you can't
feel
what's happening in there.
Yeah, vibration and everything.
When you're a sporting event and the home team is winning and everyone's cheering, you can
feel it. Yeah.
You're at a funeral, you feel
it's real.
You feel it. So I agree with you. And that's why I don't think like when I say ghost, I just think that energy is still
around.
Yeah.
I don't think we're conscious and I don't think like we have a consciousness, but I do think that our spirit, whatever that is. We're literally just bodies, okay? This is just a stupid body. It's cool that I fucking paint the nails and I do the makeup and everything. But it's literally just a body that I'm sitting in. And my soul, my spirit are inside of here. And when this goes, like, that doesn't go anywhere.
Right.
That just is into the universe. Like, this doesn't go away.
The energy you're talking about.
The energy.
That's the one
the
thing.
The soul.
Yes. And that's why, like, I believe in ghosts. I believe in spirits. But when people say they talk to him, I'm with you. Like, I don't feel like that energy has a conscience. So I don't know. When I hear people say, you know, your grandmother wants to tell you, so my grandmother's thinking still? Like, I don't know if I buy that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I don't know that either.
Like, I have a hard time differentiating
Although, who knows,
between
because,
that.
Because, you know, I've known a lot of people that have had near-death experiences or have been dead, and almost every single person...
What do you mean you've known people who've
like,
been
I've
dead?
Like, I've met a lot of people randomly in my life who have had either OD'd or they've been... Like, a friend who was in a car, a motorcycle accident.
Somebody put a curse on them.
Hilarious. I know, right? So a friend who was in a motorcycle accident split his head open, was dead for 8 minutes, completely brain dead. And said that there was darkness and then there was a light. And he walked towards the light and his grandfather put his hand on his shoulder and turned him back around. So a lot of, but everybody.
Get out of here.
Everyone that I've talked to that has had a near-death experience, not one of them has said that there wasn't someone from their family there. Someone from their family is always there. And as my grandmother recently passed away a couple years ago, the last couple days as she was dying, she was talking to her mom and her sister in the hospital room.
Come on.
Yeah. So I think that, I mean, who fucking knows, dude? This world is weird as shit. You want to know what I really think?
That's bananas.
This is purgatory.
Or you think this is?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
now,
this is just the stopping point
this is
to wherever you're going to go.
Well, whatever you do on this earth, that's why people say there's no God, because if God was real, he wouldn't let this happen to me. God's not interfering. Okay? Mm-hmm. This is your free man's free will to do good or bad. This is your test. The better you do after you die, that's where you go. Okay? If you fuck up, they say, it says in the Bible, the gates to heaven are long and narrow, but mm-hmm. the gates to hell are short and wide.
You know what's funny? You just said that. I just talked to...
Oh, no. What?
I was...
You're like, I just talked to a priest.
No, this is something completely different.
Okay.
But you said long and narrow and short and wide?
Yeah.
Me and three friends over the weekend... We're just debating. Would you rather have a long skinny dick or a short wide one? But I'd never heard him described as heaven and hell.
Oh my God. Think of it that way. Jeez.
But I will tell you that I don't believe in heaven and hell.
At all.
No. I believe that when you're dead, you're dead. And I believe that there's definitely energy, and the energy is around. I have a hard time believing that energy still thinks. I think if it still might vibe to whatever energy you had, right? Mm-hmm. Which would explain some of the behavior, mm-hmm. like how they say ghosts, some ghosts do the same thing all the time.
Also, that another reason for that is that it's an echo. So for instance, like if you see a ghost and it's always doing the same thing, that literally is just so much energy of that person having done that. It's actually just replaying in front of you.
That's
you,
what
you
I feel like
it.
For
yeah.
that kind so of stuff.
So it's not even actually the ghost really being there. It's mostly just because that person did that so much in their life. The energy is just repeating what that person did.
I wonder if there's going to be a ghost of me jerking off in my bathroom.
I feel like we should do a ghost podcast.
That's, you know what we should do?
We should do one together.
Wait, we should go to that store first.
It's creepy.
Let's go.
I don't feel good about it.
We don't have to cast.
Guys, don't practice black magic. It's horrible.
Okay.
And I honestly, my life hasn't, I've had beautiful things happen in my life since then, but also I haven't been the same. And I think that, not that that has anything to do with
but don't have to practice black magic.
But you channel dark shit. When you channel dark shit, I mean, I moved out of the house that I was in. Not because of that. I moved in with my husband, but I moved out of that house and I'm glad I did, because you know what? You can't stay there on that.
I agree with that.
Like, it's not good.
That's part of the energy.
Yes.
Like, you know, there was a time when, you know, there's a show called Paranormal Activity out for
yes,
a while.
Yes.
Right?
That was a movie, too.
Yes. Maybe it wasn't the show called
movie Ghost Hunters?
No, it was a young guy. I forget what it was called.
Okay.
But it was basically Paranormal Activity as a show.
Right.
And I would stay up late and watch it. Mm-hmm. Beth was like, you shouldn't watch this that much.
Not before bed either.
And she was like, I don't want it on. She really believes in it.
And the energy, too.
She goes, I don't want, you're watching like mm-hmm. six episodes in a row, and I don't want that energy in the house.
Yeah.
And so there was a time where like I was watching it a lot,
mm-hmm.
and I would go out and walk my dog.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was watching, I'm not kidding. I'm a pretty affable, I'm not an intimidating dude.
Right.
I mean, I know my arms are huge, but.
Like if I had to draw a picture of you, I'd start with a stick.
Yeah. And then you would just add a head.
Yes.
Yeah. But you wouldn't, I mean, these thighs fit right in with that stick figure.
Right.
But for the first time in my life, there were people, when I would walk down the street, crossing to the other side. This is a little neighborhood.
Do you think it's because you had a dog?
No, because I've been walking that dog forever.
What kind of dog was it?
He was,
I was only walking a pit bull. No,
he was a pit, half. He was half boxer,
sometimes
half pit.
Sometimes people are scared of those dogs.
But here's the thing, without a doubt, and I wouldn't have thought twice about it if it had ever happened to me before.
Right.
But I was, weird things were happening to me in my life. And Beth said to me, she goes, you know, Beth really believes in it.
Yeah.
She goes, well, you know one thing? And that she won't go see Exorcism of Emily Rose or any of those, anything she
good.
Thinks
yeah.
could happen.
Yeah.
But she's like, do you know who, and she'll say she doesn't like to say the word demons. She, just,
uh-huh.
she goes, you know who demons get attached to? Uh-huh. People who start to attach themselves to demons.
Yes.
She was like, because all that all that show talked a lot about demons. And I was doing research on it. And I would talk to her about these ones that I found. She was like, you got to stop looking at that shit. It's going to be bad.
Yes.
And there was a time, that little period there, where weird things, people were treating me differently. I was arguing with people more. It was like, it was a darker.
Yeah.
I grew like a full fucking beard.
You put like teeth in
your head. Yeah. I shaved them so that.
Oh my God.
But it was like really a bizarre thing. She was like, you got to stop letting that shit in. We should definitely do one.
Like a ghost paranormal podcast. I've had so many weird experiences. We have to talk about it at some point. I feel like we didn't even get to talk about your worst first, and they're all telling me to wrap up the fucking podcast.
Well, I shit my pants on the first date with my wife.
Oh, yeah, that's what you were supposed to tell. Do you want to tell it? Just tell it.
I can't, but we can do it again.
Tell it right now. You shit your pants on the first date with your
wife. I was out with her. I had been out the night before. This was when I was still drinking a little bit. And I had been out drinking, smoking weed, and I went to Taco Bell that night. So
worst idea.
My stomach
before
was
before the date.
No, this was the night before.
Oh, the night before.
So stomach was a little topsy turvy. I woke up the next day and I was like, ugh. But I really liked her. And the reason I liked her so much is because the first time I talked to her on the phone, she had made a really inappropriate joke.
Oh, and that's shit. You're like, my kind of girl.
Yeah. And I was like, that's kind of ballsy.
She's like, I'd suck his dick right off. You're like, my kind of. I'm gonna marry this bitch. You all stopped and got like a little ring.
By the way, I knew I was gonna marry after this date.
That's amazing.
Because we go. We're talking. It's a great night. I go to sneeze. I'm a mouth sneezer. You know, we scream, right?
You're all, that's right. How you sneeze.
Like, and I didn't want to do that to her.
Right.
So instead of screaming, I just plugged my nose real quick. And when I plugged my nose.
Your asshole opened.
And I shit my pants.
Oh my God.
I reverse sneezed. I reverse sneezed.
Stop.
Fat. Right. And so.
Literal shit.
Literal.
Splat.
Enough.
Against your underwear.
When people ask me how much. All I'll tell you is
it was squishy.
Enough to make a difference. Enough to make a difference.
So what did you do?
So I'm sitting there and
in your shit.
And obviously the expression on my face changed probably to something like this. Right? And she said to me,
did you shit yourself?
No. Okay. She said, you okay? And I was like, Yeah. And she go and cause she knows, she goes, well, I'm gonna use the restroom. I go, okay. And I was thinking to myself, all right, what's the plan?
Yeah.
I didn't want to get up and leave.
Yeah.
I found out because that's the poop walk.
Yes.
You know the poop walk.
You're all.
Show the poop walk. Yeah. Everybody knows what the poop walk is. Exactly.
SpongeBob with their legs all spread apart and shit. Like, well, that guy's walking weird. Yeah.
Now, there's no way to walk out of that restaurant without everyone knowing I'm taking a shit in my pants.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm going to need her help to get out of here safe.
Right.
So she comes back and sits down. And I looked at her and I said, I have to tell you something. And she said, you can tell me anything. And I said,
you're like, are you sure about that?
We're about to find out, aren't we? We're about to find out. You know? We'll see. And she goes, go ahead. And I paused for a second. I said, I shit myself. And she said, I know.
She goes, she said, I know?
She said, I'm sitting 2 feet away from you. You don't think I'd smell that you shit your pants? She said, you know, that's why I got up and go to the bathroom so you could leave like a man. But you're here when I got back. Now I got to deal with it too. And I was like, oh, I fucking love you.
Did she say that?
Yeah.
I'm dead. Was she cracking up?
Oh, she was.
I feel like I wouldn't care. If I was really into the guy, I wouldn't care.
She asked me what happened. I said, I was out the night before. I told her I'd gone out the night before. And I go,
fucking Taco
I said,
Bell.
I sneezed.
Sponsor my podcast.
Yeah. I said, when I sneezed like that, I didn't want to, and it, yeah. And she goes, oh. And I go, we got to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, this was great. When she told me, she goes, I know you shit your pants. I'm sitting 2 feet away from you. Mm-hmm. Do you not think I knew you shit your pants?
Yeah.
She said, you know, everybody else knows you shit your pants too. I go, no way. And I whisper. The guy at the table next to me was like, yeah, man. He goes, when are you leaving?
No!
Because I was ruining his dinner.
What restaurant was it?
It Bossa Nova on
I
Sunset.
I fucking love
me
Bossa
too.
Nova. I miss that place.
Right next to the Rock and Roll Ralphs?
Yeah.
Is that the one you went
Rock
to?
Rock and Roll Ralphs. I used to live in this area. I live in Calabasas now. So yeah, I used to go to the Bossa Nova all
Where,
the time.
Did you live in that area?
I did. I had a little house on, what was it? About, like near Moza. You know Moza that little neighborhood?
Yeah.
I had a little house there. That's where I did my witchcraft.
I mean, but now you're hoity-toity.
Now I live in Calabasas.
No, so fancy.
So there's like, it's weird.
But she stayed with me?
Yes, that's amazing.
And, you know.
And the first date, and then how long after did you guys get married?
Well, you know, I had to figure out how to introduce her to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she didn't meet my kids for months.
You know,
she slept in my closet.
New dads are weird like that about people meeting their kids.
You know what it is for me?
Huh?
Why do you need to meet my kids? Why don't you and I have a relationship? It, because if you and I aren't going to have a relationship, my kids don't need to see a revolving door.
Yeah,
they don't need to see a revolving door.
Unless she's going to be a permanent fixture.
That's the thing.
Right, right, right.
So until I knew she was going to be a permanent fixture,
right,
there's no reason for me to introduce you to the kids.
I met my husband's kids right away.
How old were they?
They're older.
Right.
21,
so my
22.
Kids were young.
Yeah, they were little.
And she slept in my walk-in closet for... So she would come over. We would do whatever, you know, have dinner, do it. And then... But I told her, I go, you can't be here when the kids wake up. So one night, she was like, I'm too tired to drive home. Can I sleep here? I go, you can't sleep in the bed. I can't have the first time you meet my kids when you're in my bed.
Hey, Dad!
And she said to me, can I sleep in your closet? And I was like, oh, I got to tell you this real quick. And then she goes, can I sleep in your closet? And I said, yeah. So she'd been sleeping in the closet for a little bit. And then one morning.
This is insane.
My daughter, the deal with my kids in the morning was.
They would all get in bed with
me. I make breakfast and lunch. You get yourselves dressed.
Yes.
I can't do all three.
Right.
So my daughter comes in. I'm making breakfast one morning. And she goes, hey, do you know where my shoes are? I go, no, babe. I go, I can't find. She said, I can't find them. I go, babe, go look. You know what the deal is. So she comes back.
Goes in your closet.
Like 5 minutes later, she goes, I still can't find my shoes, and there's a stranger sleeping in your closet.
Oh!
And she was probably 6 or 7 at the time. And I said, okay, babe. I said, hey, just out of curiosity, and this is how I knew my daughter was going to be a boss bitch, right? I go, just out of curiosity, there's a stranger sleeping in my closet, and that's all the reaction I get? Uh-huh. And she looked right at me, and she goes, it's your closet, Daddy. None of my business what happens in your closet.
She's like, Daddy, we know you've been hanging out in that closet for years. Oh, my gosh. She's amazing.
Oh.
I bet your daughter's so pretty.
Gorgeous.
I know. I could see that.
She's gorgeous.
Yes.
Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. She looks a lot like Kirsten Dunst.
You have a daughter and two sons.
Yeah.
And the daughter's the youngest?
Daughter's in the middle.
Okay.
My son is 22. My youngest son's 22, and my oldest son is 27.
Are they all doing good?
Yeah. My oldest son is in the Army.
Oh, my God.
My daughter is a vet assist in Glendale.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then my son works on the David Spade Show.
They're all doing great.
They're all doing good. And I take mushrooms every Monday.
Yay! Yeah! Oh, my God. This has been the best podcast.
Yay!
Wait, are you happy? Are you happy? This has been the coolest podcast. We'll have you on again.
Let's do it again.
When I say we'll, I mean me and my personalities.
Yes. And you're going to come back on my show?
I will come back anytime. I would love to. And we should do a ghost podcast separately. Would you guys like that? Guys, leave in the comments if you think Josh and I should do a supernatural podcast where we get involved in some really dark shit, maybe go like camp overnight in haunted places and shit and film it. How crazy would that be?
That sounds amazing.
Be so down.
We're going to Blair Witch ourselves?
And then I just get like all paralyzed. I get, what is it called? Possessed.
Oh, and I'll smoke weed. I'll smoke weed.
I come on the podcast next week. I'm all, my name's Beelzebub. Welcome to the worst first. This is going to be the worst podcast of your life. Anyway, guys, make sure to follow Josh Wolf. Your Josh Wolf Comedy.
On everything.
On
everything.
Josh Wolf Comedy. It's easy to spell.
And
it's not Josh with a P or anything.
No, I do a podcast with Freddie Prinze Jr. called Prinze and the Wolf.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
He's cool.
Really good
Speaking
guy.
Of cool relationship, him and Sarah Michelle Gellar have been married forever.
Ever.
I love that.
Yeah.
See, relationships can work out if you work at them. Anyway, stay tuned for next week, guys. Thank you so much for all your love. And stay tuned for more Worst First.